What song should we sing today? Because we all carry a song in our heart. And as we're doing this series, we're acknowledging Advent. We're getting ready to celebrate the coming of Jesus to earth and look forward to when he will come back to set things right. And music's such a big part of it. We all carry a song with us every day. What song do you want to sing? What song do you think God wants you to sing? And I want to invite us today to sing a song that was written not all that long ago by a man named Noel Regne, and then his wife did the music, Gloria Shane. Do you hear what I hear? Do you see what I see? Do you know what I know? And I want to talk about two ways of hearing and seeing and knowing, and one of them is a kind of a journey, and I want to tell you about somebody who journeyed really well. So, this song, Noel Regne, who wrote it, was French and had a horrific life in many ways. He was forced into the Nazi army by the Nazis, and so he had to fight for them until he was able to escape, and then he joined and fought with the French resistance, and so he saw, heard, experienced horrible pain. And he prayed that World War II would be the war to end all wars, and then had to live with the reality that it was not. Along that journey, he one time went into a place where this woman, Gloria, was playing the piano, and he just thought she was lovely and very gifted musically. He could speak virtually no English. She couldn't speak any French at all. Somehow he managed to introduce himself. They were married in less than a month. Kids, do not try this at home. And one time when he was facing a very deep depression because of the deep trauma of his own life and then living in a world where there was, you know, the Korean War and then the war in Vietnam that involved France and eventually America, he thought about the story of Christmas and the image of a little lamb. Said the night wind to the little lamb, "Do you see what I see? A star," and then the little lamb to a little shepherd boy, and then the shepherd boy eventually to a mighty king. "Do you know what I know in your palace warm, child?" And each of these invitations, each of these questions involves a way of hearing or seeing or knowing that eventually leads to a way of praying, a way of living. And I want to talk about two different ways of knowing, two different ways of describing. So this is from a book named Joan Swinton. And he talks about how our descriptions, this actually comes from another anthropologist, but when we're trying to describe something, when we're trying to understand or picture something, we can offer thin descriptions or we can offer thick descriptions. A thin description, he says, provides us with the minimum amount of information necessary to understand a situation or a context, or in particular, a person. So somebody might note that one out of four people in America are suffering from or will suffer from mental health challenges, but that tells us very little about you or about me or about the depression that Noel Regne was going through. A thick description, on the other hand, gets deeply immersed in details. Then a question is, do I really want a thick description of something? In our family, we have a physicist, and then we have another person who's not crazy about math. And sometimes there'll be a question that this not crazy about math person will have about, like it says it's this many degrees Celsius, what's the actual temperature in Fahrenheit, or calculating mileage with a car. And the physicist will want to give a thick description. Well, here's how you make that translation. Here's how you calculate that kind of thing, taking into account the speed of the wind and resistance and so on. And the other person was, no. I don't want to know that much. I just want a thin description. Deborah Tannen wrote a book called You Just Don't Understand. Remarkable book about communication. It was Number one on the New York Times bestseller list for four consecutive months. And in it, she writes about the role of details, thick descriptions of other people. And how does it feel to want to be understood in that deep, deep way? She writes, "My great aunt, for many years a widow, had a love affair when she was in her 70s. Obese, balding, her hands and legs misshapen by arthritis, she did not fit the stereotype of a woman romantically loved. But she was, by a man, also in his 70s, who lived in a nursing home, but occasionally spent weekends with her in her apartment. In trying to tell me what this relationship meant to her, my great-aunt told of a conversation. One evening, she had dinner out with friends. When she returned home, her male friend called, and she told him about the dinner. He listened with interest and asked her, 'What did you wear?' When she told me this, she began to cry. Do you know how many years it's been since anyone asked me what I wore?" When my great-aunt said this, she was saying that it had been years since anyone cared deeply, intimately about her, the exchange of relatively insignificant details about daily life sends a meta message of rapport and caring. That's a thick description, not just of a culture or a scientific process, but of a person. Now, here's the good news of the incarnation, of God in Jesus becoming a human being. Do you see what I see? Do you hear what I hear? Do you know what I know? We all look at the world, but I think about how Jesus would sometimes say, if anybody has ears to hear, let them hear. Or the prophets would say about people having eyes they do not see, they don't look, they don't know, we don't listen, we don't understand. Here's part of the message of the incarnation that's very, very deep. God wanted a thick description, a thick account, a thick understanding, a thick knowing of humanity, of human beings. Not just that, a thick knowing of me, with all of my junk and inadequacy and failures, and a thick knowing of you. And this is why in the New Testament, the writer of Hebrews says this in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who in every respect has been tested as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with boldness," because God knows thickly what it is to be you. "In the days of his flesh," the writer goes on, "of his flesh," this is the incarnation, this is the significance of it, "Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who is able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was son, he learned obedience through what he suffered." Because God wanted a thick knowledge, a thick understanding of what it is to be finite and frail and fallen like you and like me. And then the question for this Advent season is, do I want a thick knowing of God? Sometimes we don't. When Moses would go and talk with God, we're told in the Old Testament that other people of Israel would say to him, no, you go talk to God. We're good. You just come back and let us know. We'd rather have a thin account. Because if I come to know God thickly, that might be kind of scary. If I come to know God thickly, I might have to change my life. But then we get to see people who are on that journey, who are on that walk. And I want to tell you about Scott. I was looking today at just a series of texts over the last number of years from Scott, and he would encourage me and become new so often, even though there's been a journey in his own life for the last 3 years where he had been diagnosed with a very, very dire condition that he knew would be very life-threatening. And yet he would text and express appreciation, or he would text and say, I'm walking with somebody who's going through anxiety. He had a thick understanding of this person's life, or somebody's wrestling with doubt. How could I help him? As he continued on this, he decided that he wanted to go on a walk, the Camino Primitivo. The idea of pilgrimage is very old, and this was kind of the original pilgrimage walk for over 1,000 years. And it was kind of extraordinary that Scott would be able to do this, given what was going on with him physically. Somebody else who was on that with him said, like, he was more than everybody else on that walk. Because he didn't want to just know about God, he wanted to know God. He wanted to know God deeply, and he wanted that to shape his marriage, and he wanted that to shape the people in his family, and they would gather around him to express love, and he wanted to convey that to other people. And he did. And they would pray for him, and he would pray for them. And just a few days ago, he finished his walk. And he finished it really well. Do you see what I see? Do you hear what I hear? Now he sees. Now he hears. Now it's not thin anymore. Now it's thick. So that's the question for you and for me today that I think about when I think about our friend Scott, part of the Fellowship of the Withered Hand. God, could you help me to come to know you deeply? Could you help me, God, when I'm with other people, when I'm walking through my day? God, could I see what you see? Could I hear what you hear? Could I know what you know? So that I can pray as I ought to pray and live as I ought to live. That's our song. That's our walk.
Thanks for joining us here at Become New. I'm Tim, part of the team and a pastor. And we're curious, what hit your heart about that teaching? I love that song, Do You Hear What I Hear? And I'm not sure that I'll ever listen to it the same way again. It's always been a haunting tune to me. It's always just reminded me of the depth and the intimacy and the goodness of personally being connected to the kingdom of God and knowing something that a lot of people don't know and we wish more people knew. And that is that you are loved, that you are perfectly safe and cared for in the kingdom of God, that you are known, and that God is available to be known as much as you want to know him. So we hope that these teachings help you and encourage you. You can drop your takeaway in the comments if you're watching on YouTube, or send it to us via text or email, all of our contacts in the show notes. If you've got a prayer request, we would love to pray for you. We're glad you're here. Merry Christmas, and we'll see you again soon.